And I'd like to introduce them. These ladies on my right, they're representative. Half of them are here, the other half are on the House being introduced. Angela Barr, Kaisa Burton, Cora Ackerson, Ashley Wynn, Kyra England, Megan Cotton, Caitlin Jennings, Katie Smith, Taylor Edwards, Shelby Perry, Kenzie Moore, Cheyenne Black, Paige Burr, Sadie Burns, and I'd ask the body to make them feel very welcome.
Senator, you said they're from where?
Seneca, Missouri.
Great. We couldn't get that above the din. Let's welcome all the special guests of the senator from Newton to the Missouri Senate. Senator from 23rd.
Mr. President, accompanying the senator from Newton's group is Deputy John Wynn, sheriff with McDonald County, and I would request unanimous consent for him to carry a firearm in the Senate chamber.
Hearing no objection, unanimous consent to that request is granted. Senator from the 5th.
Introduction of special guest, Mr. President. On my right and on your left, we have Ms. Molly Mays. She is a junior at Mizzou. She is my intern this semester. She's majoring in biology and nutrition, and I ask the body to welcome her.
Let's welcome the guest of the senator from the 5th to the Missouri Senate. We're delighted to have her. Introductions, petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Resolutions, concurrent resolutions, introduction of bills. Senator from the 15th.
I have a bill.
Send it forward.
No explanation is necessary, Mr. President.
Read the bill. All right, you got it.
Senate Bill 750. Introduced by Senator Schmidt, an act relating to health care providers.
Further introduction of bills. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have another bill to introduce. I'd like to introduce Bill LaRue, who's a doorkeeper at the Pershing Gallery.
Sneaky. Introduction of bills.
Mr. President.
Senator from Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill 751, introduced by Senator Schaaf, an act relating to the length of the school day.
Explanation?
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill would simply allow local school districts, if they wanted, to increase the length of their school day to 8 hours. Thank you.
Very good. Further introduction of bills. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Please send it forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill 752, introduced by Senator Kehoe et al., an act relating to a public-private partnership between the State Highways and Transportation Commission and a private partner to reconstruct an interstate highway as a toll facility.
Would you care to explain?
I would. Thank you. Mr. President, for almost a year now, we've been talking about a conversation to the transportation problems Missouri faces. And this is one piece of that conversation, which would give limited authority to the Missouri Highway and Transportation Commission to explore the possibility of a public-private partnership. We've heard a lot about 3P legislation. This would allow the Highway Commission to move forward in a very limited scope, specifically I-70 across the rural parts of Missouri from I-64 on the east in St. Louis to 470 on the west outside of Kansas City, and look at a concessionaire model for a private consortium to come together and rebuild that roadbed. It's, again, just one piece of a highway system that has a $20 billion pothole, if you will, of overall needs for the next 10 or 15 years. And we think that projects like this are going to have to become part of Missouri's transportation conversation, whether this is the solution or whether we come up with another solution. Something has to be done to continue to provide safety to our citizens and increase roadbed velocity and volume so that economic development can continue to occur across the great state of Missouri. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further introduction of bills. Senator from the 13th.
Mr. President, I have a bill.
Please send it forward. And Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill 753, introduced by Senator Green, an act relating to utility regulation.
Do you care to explain?
Yes, Mr. President. Due to the fact this is my last year in the legislature and this could be the last bill that I introduce, I hope it has a much higher chance of success than all of my legislation in the previous 7 years. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further introduction of bills. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two bills.
Please send them forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bills.
Senate Bill 754, introduced by Senator Mayer, an act relating to the designation of a memorial highway.
Would you care to explain, Senator?
Yes, Mr. President. This is a memorial for the late James Burnett, Jr., who was killed while serving our nation in Afghanistan. It will name a state highway there in Stoddard County in his name.
Please read the second bill.
Senate Bill 755, introduced by Senator Mayer, an act relating to crimes involving institutions.
No explanation, Mr. President.
Further introduction of bills. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate the keen interest in which you preside. Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection, the informal calendar, Senate Bill 469.
Senate bills for perfection, informal calendar, Senate Bill 469, the Senator from Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 469 be called from the informal calendar and taken up for perfection.
You have heard the motion from the Senator from Green. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from Green.
Mr. President, I have a substitute.
Please send your substitute forward. Has it been distributed?
It has, Mr. President.
And would you be requesting a waiver of the reading?
I would. Thank you.
Hearing no objection, the reading shall be waived. Senator, you may proceed with your perfection motion and begin your explanation.
Thank you, Mr. President. This Senate substitute does just a few things, and really it reflects...
Would all the senators please take their conversations to the side galleries or the rear galleries so that we can hear the Senator from Green expand on his substitute for Senate Bill 469.
Thank you, Mr. President. The substitute just clears up a few remaining things that were being discussed by all the parties involved, and I can go over those briefly for the benefit of the body. They're reflected in the memo that is distributed on the desks. The first change is really a safe harbor provision for those boards and commissions that might need to meet that do not meet on a monthly basis or even every 60 days if there's a situation with others as well where there's no quorum. The second provision is pertaining to the language there that refers to the relevant fiscal year. That was on the judgment that the senator from the 13th and I discussed the other evening. For example, if there was a judgment close to the end of the fiscal year, we made it more clear in this substitute language that it was not mandating that the agency request a supplemental. The third provision repeats the notice requirements from later in the bill. The fourth one is just clarification so that definitions match. The fifth provision allows the department to start their part of the review process early if they choose to, which was, again, a discussion that we had and certainly makes sense. So that's just an allowance for them to begin their review process earlier. The sixth provision is the same thing, but it's relating to the Small Business Regulatory Fairness Board and the report that goes to them as well as to JCAR. The seventh provision is really twofold. Number one, if they fail to file the report or any portion of the report, it clarifies that the agency, what is subject then to nullification. And the second part is just for protection of JCAR, rather than have it be null and void 90 days after publication, we decided to, after some discussions with the agencies and the administration, it would be a good idea to leave that to 60 days after the start of the next regular session so the General Assembly had input there if necessary. So I would be happy to answer any questions on the substitute.
The senator from Green has moved for the adoption of Senate Substitute for Senate Bill number 469. Does any senator desire to be heard upon that motion? The senator from the 13th, what purpose are you seeking recognition?
To inquire the senator from Green.
Senator from Green, do you yield?
I do.
He does proceed.
Senator, I am not going to take long because you brought this bill up last year after it was passed in the House, brought it up, and it was on a fast track. You and I discussed it. You started making some changes to it.
Yes.
It was hijacked and was going to be the new FRA piece of legislation last year. You took where you and I were in discussions late last year, started the process again this year. You and I discussed it on the floor, and the whole issue was I did not want all the good rules thrown out with all the rules that might be considered so-called bad rules. So you have a process in place now, and I want to thank you for working with some of the concerns I brought up. But I guess what I'm trying to say is sometimes getting up on the floor and giving an idea helps the process along the way, and I think you have a product now that is both good for the public and the taxpayer, but also doesn't create chaos with the bureaucracy.
Well, I think that's something that we all need to be cognizant of as we put our ideas forward. I thank you for your input and just your willingness to sit down and discuss it with me and offer your expertise. And I think we have a good product here. I certainly do. And I know that the House passed a bill that did include the sunsets. And it's my intention to make sure that this is the bill that goes forward.
And we were talking about that before session started. That House bill was just second read, I believe, in today's calendar. So that one's on a fast track, and you said this is the one you would like to perceive.
Yes.
To be the vehicle. So I don't want to belabor. I just wanted to bring that up, and thank you for working with me.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 4th, what purpose are you seeking recognition?
To inquire the senator from Green.
Senator, do you yield?
Yes, I do.
He does proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I was not so much concerned with the bill as I was with the fiscal note.
Okay.
Have you reviewed this fiscal note?
I have taken a look at it. Now, there's not a fiscal note out yet on the
on the
substitute, but on the committee substitute, I have taken a look at it. Let me flip to that here. Yes.
I mean, the front page says zero R unknown, basically all the way across. But when you start paging through this thing, for instance, DNR is saying they have to hire 16 full-time employees to comply with this at a cost of, I think it was $1.7 million.
Which underscores exactly why we have such a problem with all these rules. You can imagine what this is doing to small business. And I would contest that it's not going to take that many people. But my point is the departments are telling us that it's going to take potentially, you know, that many people. And I would say, I would turn that around and say, can you imagine being a small business trying to comply with them? I will point out, though, that many of the estimates that they've made refer to the original bill that went through committee.
Okay.
Even though that I believe it's actually tagged to the committee Yeah, it's tagged to the SCS. But I think many of those provisions actually were the same in the fiscal note that came out for the original bill.
So, I mean, have you added up this fiscal note? Do you know what
Well,
the
you know, it's a
saying?
Little vague, to tell you the truth.
Right.
The fiscal note is very vague. I kind of thumbed through it, and I looked at some of the assumptions, and they're all over the board. For example,
the two that caught my eye were the Department of Revenue and the Department of Natural Resources.
Well, I'm interested in what their assumptions are, because when I was thumbing through these last week, it really underscored to me why we need to be having a review in the first place, because they don't even know, in many cases, they don't even know what's sitting there on the books that hasn't been dusted off in over 10 years. So if they don't know, and the agencies are not aware of it, I can assure them that the small businesses that are out there are definitely forced to deal with it. One thing I would point out, too, is that this is merging a new report with existing reports that they already do. So for them to say, for example, there's a reference in this bill to the Small Business Regulatory Fairness Board. They're already preparing reports on a regular basis for that board. And this moves it from a paper report to an electronic report. So there's a real possibility that we're going to save the state money. The Small Business Regulatory Fairness Board has been requesting electronic copies, and they can't get them. The only thing they can get is a paper copy. Well, there's just reams and reams and reams of paper, and we specify in the bill that they are to be given a copy of the report in electronic format. So I think in the end we're going to find that this is more efficient. It's a process that will reduce costs rather than expand costs. And like I say, just the fact that not only are the reports in many cases already being produced, it underscores the need to have some sort of assessment process in place, because in some cases I don't think that they really know what the impacted community is dealing with out there.
Well, I mean, I would concede that point, Senator, but don't you think that the small business community, if they have a problem with a particular regulation, that they contact their elected representative? Then don't you think it bubbles up by its own fruition?
Sometimes I can give you a case in point, actually one where there was a problem over at the Department of Revenue. Now, I talked about this the other night on the floor, and I've since gotten a few more facts. And this doesn't pertain to the review process in the bill. This pertains to the process in the bill which strengthens the petition process and allows for the collection of fees and expenses. The Department of Revenue submitted a rule to, they published a rule and both in 2006 and in 2008, and due to comments and other things that came out of that, they requested, the Missouri Chamber, I believe, requested a hearing before the JCAR committee in 2006 and also in 2008. The rule was withdrawn both times by the department, and the notation by the committee was in both instances it looked like JCAR was going to convene a hearing, but the hearing did not ultimately take place because the rules were withdrawn by the department prior to the commencement of the hearing. That happened in both 2006 and 2008.
The same and rule?
Then what they did was they went forward in 2000. Let's see if I've got my years correct here. The instructions were included. There was a change of instruction in the department without promulgating the rule. And the instructions included regarding the state tax add back in 2007, and then instructions including the state tax add back in 2008 through 11. And I've got all the forms where they changed the forms, and it has literally cost, it is the cost to small business and just in the forms alone was between $67,000 and $350,000. And that doesn't cost the addition, that does not take into consideration the addition in tax. It's probably millions of dollars. They circumvented the process. So there's an example where it didn't come to me until I filed this bill. It was not presented as a bill before the General Assembly where we could have superseded what was done. There was no rule in place. And I agree with you. I think that many times we do hear from our constituents, and I'm always thankful when I do. I'm sure that you are as well. That process would remain the same. We can still address those concerns, but many times I know that folks become frustrated from the overlapping bureaucracies between the federal, the state, and the local. I can give you some examples there in my own district where people literally have just given up and they've gone to work for somebody else rather than opening a business and employing folks and creating jobs. And really what it goes to is government at all levels combined has small business strangled with their left hand in the form of regulation and bureaucracy. And then we're essentially slapping them with our right hand, trying to get them to wake up and create jobs, not realizing that we're part of the problem. So I think that through the process of trying to put this together, we've come up with a good compromise. I definitely look forward to a fiscal note on the substitute bill, and I think that some of these things and the changes will be reflected in it.
I mean, my concern is I think we already have a process in place where before there's a rule that is instituted, isn't there a JCAR hearing or something like, or something of the same? So we already have a process of review.
Well, when the rule is first promulgated, it can go for review. But once it's put in place, there is no further review process. Over half of the rules that are on the books right now have not been reviewed or amended in over 10 years. And, you know, when you're looking at almost 11,000 pages of rules in fairly small font, that's a lot of impact to small business. And when you're considering the fact that I think this information was distributed on desks earlier as well.
Senator, I got it.
That might be what it is. Yeah, 6,500 rules. This is a much different, this bill reflects a great change from what it was introduced as, where everything would just be hit a sunset and be required to be repromulgated every 10 years. That would require, I mean, that would be a nightmare of paper. And so we're not at that point any longer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
We're not at that point any longer. What the substitute would do instead of that, the House bill, as the senator from the 13th and I were talking about, the House bill is still in that form, and my intention would be to pass the Senate substitute, which is really a reflection of a great deal of negotiation between agencies, departments, the House and the Senate, and the administration, so that we don't bury our state employees in paper, so that we don't increase the cost of the publication of the state register, and that sort of thing. So I think the concerns that you're referring to have been addressed in the substitute.
So
it's just that they're not reflected in the fiscal note.
In the note. So if we're not, be patient with me here, if we're not reviewing all the rules, which ones are we reviewing?
Well, they're all being reviewed, but they're not going through a sunset. The departments would be required to begin a review of the rules and then submit to JCAR a list of those that they feel are unnecessary, obsolete, duplicative, or conflicting, overbroad, burdensome. And they would then, in their report, recommend either renewing the rule, getting rid of the rule, or amending the rule. And that is split up over a five-year process, and that is on page...
I'm comfortable with that so far, but wasn't there a punitive section here that if they didn't get it reviewed, that it expired?
Yes, and that's modified in the substitute.
All right.
On page 7, line 11, the review process is delineated in five-year segments so that every 5 years the rules would be reviewed. And they're done by chapter. The titles are listed by number, and those each refer to a different department. I can go through those if you would like.
Oh, I'm fine. I can.
Now,
I've
the punitive
that.
Portion you're talking about was changed in the substitute. Yeah, in the committee substitute, we refer to the collection of reasonable fees and attorney cost. If it's found that a rule should have been promulgated, such as the one I just described with the Department of Revenue, mm-hmm. and it was not, then the non-state entity would be eligible to collect fees and expenses. This, in my opinion, will demand some accountability from the agencies and the departments so that they don't circumvent the rulemaking process and circumvent the oversight that JCAR has. Now, the only change that we made, the changes in the substitute are relatively minor. It just stipulated that... let's see here. Yeah, it just stipulates that it matches up current law definitions in Chapter 536. So they would take it out of their operating expenses. I want to make sure that the departments cannot pass that off to the legal defense fund, as we talked about the other night.
No, and I'm comfortable with that, but I think the part that catches my attention the most is page 9. Of the substitute, probably starting at line 25.
Let me catch up with you here.
Yep. And then over to the next page. Did you find it yet?
Okay, page 9 of the Senate sub and line 25.
Starting at line 25 there. If the state agency fails to file the report.
Right.
And does not receive an extension. Then the rule shall, then you go over to page 10, the rule shall be void and of no further effect after the first 60 legislative days?
Yes. That's the hammer.
That's the hammer.
That's the hammer instead of the sunsets. They've got to get their work done, and they've got to submit it to JCAR no later than June the 13th of the year after publication of that list that was on page 7, I believe. Now, we did make a change there at the request. Our entire working group reviewed this, and we want to make sure we don't put JCAR in a situation. So instead of saying 90 days after, which I was mentioning earlier, it would be after the first 60 legislative days of the next regular session of the General Assembly.
You're a lot more confident in the General Assembly than I am, and
well,
you think we're going to get something done in the first 60 days.
The reason for that is so that JCAR is doing a ministerial act.
All right.
I'm trying to avoid a separation of powers issue there.
Okay. All right, Senator, I've still got to think about this, but thank you very much for the inquiry.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? The senator from Cape Girardeau, for what purpose are you seeking recognition?
To inquire the chair.
Please state your inquiry.
What order of business are we on? Are we on the adoption of the amendment?
The motion on the floor is adoption of the substitute to Senate, the Senate substitute for Senate Bill 469.
Have we already adopted .01S, the amendment, or has that been offered?
No amendment has been offered.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire the senator from Green.
Senator from Green, do you yield?
I do.
He does proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator, and thank you. I know you sent this substitute out by email today.
Yes.
I was driving when I got that email. It takes me, I don't know how long it takes you to get up here, but it takes me about 4 hours to get up here. So I haven't had a chance to review it, and I'm sitting here reviewing it, and I'm trying to square with what I'm reading to what we discussed at our caucus and what I'm seeing now, and it's all not really jiving to me.
I don't think I discussed this in the caucus. It's really...
No, I'm talking in December.
Oh.
Where we talked about a provision in which rules were going to be offered, and then if those rules were not basically approved in the General Assembly, then they would be null and void. We would shift the burden, basically putting the power, if you will, back in elected members in light of term limits and everything than the bureaucrats. And it would actually make the bureaucrats come over here and make a case for why particular rules should be adopted on particular things, and I don't really see that played out here.
Well, it does that. I don't recall saying very much in the winter.
Okay.
Just the concept, two or three sentences. But... actually, the substitute does exactly what you're saying. It requires that they review that and they submit it to JCAR, and we're even going a step further, and we're making sure that the Small Business Regulatory Fairness Board has the same information.
And believe me, I'm tired of moving that small business thing over to the Lieutenant Governor's office and having these discussions that DED doesn't play favorites with this person.
So that's not in the bill.
Good. So you're not offering this amendment?
I may.
Well, you know, okay.
But it's not in the bill.
Well, it's in this amendment.
I may offer that.
This amendment, right? So you're not going to offer this amendment?
I'm just saying it's not in the substitute. I may offer that as the as an amendment, yes.
Okay. So you're going to offer this amendment, and then we can talk about all this craziness that's associated with somehow Peter Kinder, the king of tax credits, is going to be a better small business lieutenant governor than than a big business tax credit guy that he's proven time and time to be. I'll enjoy that debate whenever we get to that point. I'm trying to, I guess, move forward. What is your understanding of the current law relative to page 3, subsection 2? And this is where you define reasonable fees and expenses, includes the reasonable expenses of expert witnesses, the reasonable cost of any study, analysis, engineering report, test, or project which is found by the court or agency to be necessary for the preparation of the party's case, and reasonable attorney or agent fees, the amount of fees awarded as reasonable fees and expenses shall be based upon prevailing market rates for the kind of quality of the service furnished, except that no expert witness shall be compensated at a rate in excess of the highest rate of compensation for expert witnesses paid by the state in the type of civil action or agency proceeding, and attorney's fees shall not be awarded in excess of $75 per hour unless the court determines that a special factor such as limited availability of qualified attorneys for the proceedings involved justifies a higher fee. Where did that come from?
That's straight out of Chapter 536 of Missouri Revised Statutes.
Okay, so what is Chapter 536?
Administrative Procedure and Review.
So this is the current
law?
It's
in, let's see. Book
so
number 14 of all of our
in
books.
Your substitute, what are you doing here? Are you now allowing all of this for this petitioning party? And let me just connect the dots, and maybe you can alleviate some of my concerns. All that brain trust on the other side of the business that thinks it's so important to protect these scumbag tax credit people and keep passing all of the tax credit takers in the world, they pass a constitutional amendment to limit the growth of government, but doesn't do anything to the only area of government that's growing out of control, tax credits. You know, their Tabor Light, that brain trust over there that sunsets everything but historic preservation and low-income housing tax credits. They think that they can review everything else. What I want to make sure doesn't happen is that these yahoos that are in the pockets of those special interests don't create in this bill a way that the historic preservation and the low-income housing tax credit takers can then hire all these experts to go challenge the rules and regulations that are on the books, get us to streamline or create even a greater funnel to these scumbags that take all these tax credits in the face of our economic plight and fight the way that we are fighting with them through special sessions, through what is going to come to another grinding, horrible conclusion. This General Assembly, I suspect about March, when Paul McKee strolls down here once again with some lawyer that he has hired and says he has the next greatest fix to what ails the state. We can't review it, we can't study it, we just got to hurry up and pass it, as has happened historically, session after session, towards the middle and end of March. So I guess my direct question is, what is this doing? You say it's already existing law. Why is it underlined? Why is it in this section?
Well, we copied it from section 536.085. And it is, as you'll notice, if you back up, I think you're on page 3 there.
Yeah, I said page 3, line 14, subsection 2.
Fondly recall you saying, let's back up. Over to page 1, it's under 536-041 on the first page of the substitute. It's strictly in regard to the enhanced written petition process, which this was in the original bill. And the Senate committee substitute. It is relating to if it was found that the agency should have promulgated a rule but failed to do so and circumvented the process by perhaps changing the instructions, as the case of the Department of Revenue that I outlined earlier, where they withdrew the rule and they didn't go through with it, and then they just changed their instructions internally by circumvented the whole process, and it's cost small businesses millions of dollars across the state. There was an example that one of our colleagues brought up the other day about Medicaid and the kidney program. They changed the rules internally on their instructions rather than going through the correct process, the process that's been established. So we just took what was already in statute and copied it over to this section. That's why it's underlined.
All right. So what you're saying now is, as you flip over, any individual may now challenge these actions? I mean, why don't you just walk me through it? What are you trying to accomplish here?
If the impacted individual, a non-state entity, if it was found in their favor that the rule should have been adopted.
By whom?
The regular process, when the rule is submitted and put in the Missouri Register.
Yeah,
you're familiar with that process.
Whom would find that they acted improperly?
It could be a court. It could be.
Could it be JCAR?
I don't know. That might be a question you might want to ask the chairman of that committee, but I don't have that in this bill.
So who would make the awards of these fees and expenses?
That would be up to the court.
So it's a court of law that ultimately would make the determination as to a prevailing party?
Well, why don't we start here on page one?
Okay.
I think I can answer your questions better if we just read through it in a methodical manner.
Walk me through it.
Starting on page one, line 14, any person. This is already, you see, that's not underlined, so they already have the ability to petition, but we're specifying that they have to file a written petition with the agency requesting the adoption, amendment, or repeal of any rule. This is aside from the regular review process, the systematic review process in the other part of the bill. An agency receiving a petition or other such in writing, we specify that they, if you drop down on page two, down to line five, we've taken out a portion of what's currently in statute there, together with the action, if any, taken or contemplated by the agency as a result of such petition or request, the agency reasons therefore. We've stripped that out.
Days now to file
they have 60 days to, after receipt of the petition, the agency shall submit a written response to the petitioner. So they have that many days to get back to the petitioner, and copies of the response in electronic format must go to the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules and to the Commissioner of Administration, containing its determination as to whether the rule should be adopted, continued without change, amended, or rescinded, together with a concise summary of the agency's specific facts and findings with respect to the criteria set forth in subsection 4.
So then the agency itself to which this petition was filed would make a determination, determines the rule. I don't even understand that.
It's just saying if the agency
determines the rule merits adoption, amendment, or rescission, it shall initiate proceedings in accordance. So basically it may be that, hey, you're right, we have got a rule here that says you can't bring your horse into a bar. You're right, we need to get rid of that. No one brings their horse into a bar anymore. You know, that's actually at one time was a statute, state law, that went through the joint committee where we review unnecessary state laws. So then the joint committee may refer comments or recommendations concerning such rule to the General Assembly for further action. Is that where you envision the General Assembly gets involved and we can reject?
As we can now by filing a bill.
But that's the role you envision now.
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to encapsulate with that sentence?
Well, yeah, the Joint Committee may refer comments or recommendations concerning the rule to the General Assembly for further action. So there'd be a report sent to the General Assembly.
Okay.
Upon application, now this is new in the substitute when you compare it to the committee substitute. But upon timely application, the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules may grant for good cause an extension of time to answer a petition. And the reason for that is some of the boards and commissions do not have meetings that often, and some of them may have vacancies where they have a quorum problem. So we want to give flexibility to JCAR to allow for that. But we make the agencies come to JCAR rather than putting in statute what the response would be there. And then you go into subsection 2. If a petition is received by an agency that requests the adoption of a rule and an agency does not promulgate a rule based on the petition and it is found by an administrative or judicial fact finder that a state agency's statement of general applicability, which is the subject of the petition, should have been promulgated as a rule under this chapter, then the administrative or judicial fact finder shall award the non-state party who prevails its reasonable fees and expenses. And then the section you're referring to just explains what that is. This award shall constitute a reviewable order. Awards made under this section shall be payable from amounts appropriated to the agency. I don't want them running and sending this over to the legal defense fund for the taxpayers have to foot the bill, and they don't have any accountability or any incentive to do anything different in the department than what they're doing right now.
But the tax, well, and I agree with you.
The taxpayers are footing the bill either way.
Yeah, so why are...
But they're going to be doing it more if we don't have that provision in there because they're not going to care.
Well, what do you mean? I mean, the agency's just going to slush the money. I mean, we had an economic development director that was nominated. We zeroed out the Missouri Technology Corporation, and he's still running the place. How many times have we told the governor, you're not going to take money out of this department and travel with it? And somehow he continues to do all of that.
That's so unfortunate.
Why is it so important that the taxpayers pay all these lawyer fees and everything? And maybe it's wrong that we had them in existing state law to begin with. At the end of the day, you're bringing this action. If you are successful in this action, it affects your bottom line. And that's why you should be doing this. If you're bringing these actions for your attorney's fees and expert fees and reasonable fees, then I guess I have a concern about that.
Which I don't think has been updated since the early 80s. I may be mistaken, but it's very minimal. And I would say to that the taxpayer is already footing the bill in a very indirect way, because the way that these agencies have operated, and in my mind, what I described with the Department of Revenue, that's misconduct. To pull it out, withdraw the rule, and then go over and just change the instructions where they don't have to go through the review process.
I totally agree.
Now,
I hear you.
That is impacting those small businesses. That is impacting those small businesses in your district and mine.
But the companies you're talking about, they can afford this better than we can.
No, no, no. Not the ones I'm talking about.
Okay, who's the one that's filed these?
I don't have an example to give you right here on the floor, but I'm telling you that some of these people have given up and gone to work for somebody else because they don't have the ability to fight it. It's like fighting City Hall, you know, and they don't have the ability to fight state government too. So they're trying to employ people and create jobs. We're strangling them with one hand and slapping them with the other one, trying to wake them up.
Okay.
And
we're
create
have
jobs.
An opportunity just to settle this once and for all if this is going to be a lawyer employment bill or not. I'm going to ask Senator, that an amendment be drawn up that if you look on page 2, I like all of the burden shifting. I like being able to be where all of that is going. It's not exactly as I understood it would be, but I understand the compromises in what you're trying to do. I want to get rid of the fact that where it reads on line 28 that then the administrative or judicial fact finder shall award the non-state party who prevails its reasonable fees and expenses. I want to get rid of that. I mean, you're saying not may, you're saying shall. I mean,
how much is that?
Well, if you look on page 2, line 28, it says, then the administrative or judicial fact finder shall award, shall, the non-state party who prevails its reasonable fees and expenses.
Which is,
you know,
about
in a court of law, that doesn't even happen. This award shall constitute a reviewable order, which I assume you mean means it can be appealed to an appellate court level.
But isn't that like $75 an hour?
Well, but it says all they got to do is say that they justify a higher fee. I mean, that's pretty innocuous. That's pretty easy to establish. I mean, let me tell you, I deal with these people all the time. I mean, you could, I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. 2 weeks ago, I had a deposition with a general surgeon. He was my expert in a case that I had. It's $9,200 for him to review medical records and prepare his deposition testimony. You're not talking about chump change. And if you're talking about 11,000 pages of where we could be and the amounts of money that could come from both sides on all of this stuff, you know, I'm just going to throw it out here to the body that just by saying you can't tap into the legal expense fund doesn't mean there's not going to be an enormous amount of cash that's going to be expended by taxpayers throughout this process. And ultimately, the beneficiaries of all of that are going to be the ones that brought the lawsuit to begin with. And if it's a business decision that's out there, then they can make the business decision to expend their resources accordingly. Now, I know there's a lot of people running around here that believe they know what loser pay is, but they really don't. If you think Texas passed loser's pay, you're crazy. All right? Tort reform, you want to bring all of this stuff in? What Texas did and what these idiots that are in the chamber and AIM go, oh, yeah, loser pay, loser pay. Missouri's had it for 35 years. It's called offer of judgment. It's taxable court costs. It already exists in Missouri. So I want to be very careful about setting up a deal where all these parties can challenge. And I gave you an example that I see coming very quickly with all the tax credit takers in the world that want more lenient rules. Now, we can put out great intentions, that's fine. But I don't want there to be any way that a tax credit taker can come in here and say it should be easier to get historic preservation tax credits. It should be easier to get brownfield tax credits. We've been gummed up in a General Assembly, and when I'm gone, you tax credit takers can just open up the floodgates and rock on. But not on my watch, Senator. I've worked too hard to try to reverse these insane allocations of limited resources to these individuals. So to get back where I'm at, I'm going to ask that an amendment be drafted that is on page 2 that says you shall give attorney's fees and all of this stuff out of the bill. It's okay that it's appealable on where it is. I want on page 5 the awarding of fees and other expenses out of the bill. Same on page or on line 6 and 7 of page 3. And then there's really no reason to have line 10 through 28, and we'll just kind of see where things go at this point. So I don't know where the table is over there about offering these amendments, but I just have real concerns constantly setting that we're going to pay everyone's fees that sue us as a state. It gets expensive. It gets really expensive under Republicans and Democrats, how expensive it gets. We've been watching that, and I appreciate you keeping it out of the legal expense fund, but whether you pay this through the legal expense fund or you pay it through a larger appropriation to a state agency, it all costs the taxpayers the same. And the taxpayers are tired, Senator. They're tired.
As I said, they're already paying it. So I know they are.
And maybe that's wrong, too. And if your bill touches on all of that, then let's get rid of that, too.
Well, I think we need to provide a means for an individual that does not have deep pockets, Senator.
Well, how about you?
To hold agencies accountable.
Why don't you pay for it? Why don't you?
I'd be great.
If I could, there's a few
constituents that I would do that for.
Well, I just think we continue to look to government, whether we like where we spend the money or we not like where we spend the money. I happen to have an aversion because I've seen what lawyers and experts do to the legal expense fund.
It doesn't matter.
It's a distinction without a meaning, because what you're doing is you're opening up a similar avenue. You're just going to put it in the agency's fees, not the legal expense fund's fees. Doesn't really matter. I mean, are we locking in that an agency's line item appropriation is not going to increase to cover these costs?
I want it to come out of their core.
Senator, we don't take anything out of anybody's core. As long as I've been here, I've never seen us examine a core.
That's a mistake, I think.
Unless those individuals that now dominate the Appropriations Committee are going to break and start actually doing zero-based funding, meaning everybody starts at zero this year.
Isn't that in statute?
We don't do it.
It's in statute.
It's never happened. It's never happened in the time that I've been in the General Assembly, ever, that we say zero funding and then build upon that. What do you get? You just get new line item decision items. Well, this is what we did last year. Add to it. No one wants to do that much hard work. I've never seen it done. So, looks like we'll be offering that amendment as we look through all of this, and we'll get to determine which way the body wants to go. And I appreciate the inquiry. Mr. President.
Senator from Kate.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think we are looking at an amendment. If I could inquire of the senator from the 13th. He's sitting here.
Senator from the 13th, do you yield to the senator from the Cape?
Yes.
He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
What did I do?
You didn't do anything. I just was going to see how your weekend went. How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. I'm going to give you a preview of life if you have a daughter. Do you know what the most...
Senator, we did something to our microphones from last year. And I don't know.
Probably had a non-union electrician install a new system.
Yeah, but they're horrible this year. For whatever we did, let's undo it, because they're really horrible. And usually, I don't have trouble hearing people, but they're really bad acoustically. So I couldn't hear you there. But what were you going to say?
I had a trying thing happen last week, and I mentioned it to the floor, but my daughter had her cell phone stolen, so I had to deal with that issue as soon as I was home Thursday. Do you know what the most urgent thing in life is? I told my daughter, I hope you get as upset when I kick the bucket as you do when you had your cell phone stolen.
Well, they're cut off from the whole entire world, aren't they?
It's amazing communication, how they need it 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But that was pretty much all I did this weekend and worked around
my house.
It
took you that long to get a new...
No. I had that, and I worked around my house. I'm at the stage of my life. My wife has her career. My kids are pretty much have their careers, so I have to figure out things to do.
Right.
I used to think it would be easy, but I'll be quite honest, it's more difficult than you can realize. And I'm at the stage of my life, the bar stool doesn't sound appealing anymore. So
I'm with you.
I have to find new hobbies.
I'm with you. I hear you. Also, Senator, I don't know if you would be interested, but I found on page 7, lines 5 through 10 that probably need to go as well because they tie into that whole fee issue. And I'm getting the nod that they acknowledge that.
Well, if you're inquiring me, I thought page 7 was dealing with how often the rules will be reviewed.
Well, if you look at page 7, lines 5 through 10, it talks about, you know, the awarding of those fees and stuff, so.
Yep, what you were inquiring about.
Yeah, and then that seems to be another issue that's out there on how all of this stuff is going
to
work.
So you wanted to inquire of me while they work on their amendments?
Yeah, or I don't have to. You can sit around.
I don't mind talking to you, Senator. Believe it or not, I don't mind. I don't mind conversing with you.
I don't either. I appreciate it. And as the days dim, and freedom will ring towards the end of our time. You know, I don't know how long this amendment's going to go, but I think we had a rough week last week that ended in a very, very good week. And I think there were a lot of lessons that could be learned if chosen to be heeded to from how legislation can work through the Senate, through how the Senate plays in a confirmation role. And, you know, Senator, I'm one that hopes a lot of those lessons could be learned in a more fruitful and productive session.
Well, last year, so you know, I remember I came to you and the senator from Boone when this bill was in its original form to inquire because originally it eliminated a lot of rules currently on the book. And it was in a... I talked with the senator from Green and he narrowed it down and then the next thing he knew, this was part of the FRA renewal legislation, and then this year he did start by going where we worked last year so that we didn't throw out every rule, because if you remember last year when I came to you,
do we really want
to throw everything out and start from scratch when you're dealing with rulemaking process, because for every law we pass, there's on average, what, 6 or 7 pages of rules how to implement that law.
It's
come a long way, and like I started the inquiry with the senator from Green. You know,
I appreciate how he
worked with me, and it's come to the part on page 7 is really the further down how you do it periodically. So he worked with me, and I understand that. Now I believe what you're inquiring about is the legal fees.
Yeah, and that's what I'm going to do. And I've just been told that the table needs to talk to me, Senator, so... What I'm going to do is see if we can take 2 minutes to go see if I can converse with them, ask that we stand at ease so I can talk to Jim and see what ends up happening here to hopefully quickly get an amendment distributed, let the body's will work upon that amendment, and then move forward, as I know the senator from Green has worked with you and others to get this bill that he sees drafted and before us at this point. Dealt with by this body, and it's not my intention to delay that process.
Okay.
But just to look at this one more time.
Okay.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from Cape.
I'd ask unanimous consent to stand at ease.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will stand at ease. Senator from Cape.
If you could bring us back in.
Senator back in session, Senator from Cape.
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire the chair.
Go ahead, Senator.
I need to recall, and I know I asked the other chair what order of business we are on. What order of business are we actually on?
We are on a perfection motion.
On the adoption of the Senate substitute,
on
correct?
The adoption of the Senate substitute.
And there has not been an amendment offered to
that
the
is
Senate
true,
substitute.
Senator.
Mr. President, I have an amendment.
Send your amendment forward. Has it been distributed?
It has not. I would ask unanimous consent to continue to proceed on the offered amendment pending its distribution. I will not close until it has been distributed to all the
members. There are no objection, Senator. We will move forward under those conditions.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move for the adoption of the amendment to the Senate substitute. As I indicated to the senator from the 13th and the senator from Green, it's not my intention to delay the work that he's done on a bipartisan basis in trying to get individuals together. It's my hope that we have an opportunity to use his legislation to review what I have seen as an explosion in costs that the taxpayers have been foisted upon them, whether it's through the legal expense fund or in the senator from Green's new amendment or new legislation that would allow for prevailing parties, if you will, to recoup costs and fees. With that, Mr. President, and knowing that the amendment is being copied and distributed, I'd like to take the opportunity, if I could, to quickly explain the amendment by running through its application to the Senate substitute. So with that being said, Mr. President, I would direct the members' attention to the Senate substitute offered by the senator from Green that ends in point 05F. My amendment would eliminate basically all of the underlined language on page 1 in section 536.041. So on line 14 there, it would eliminate all of the it would just eliminate one. I'm not eliminating the file a written petition with. That would stay, but we're getting rid of the number one. If you then turn the page in the Senate substitute, we would then get rid of, on page 2, lines 22 through 28. So where it starts talking about on number 2, if a petition is received by an agency, yada, 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 going on down, where it says, then the administrative or judicial fact finder shall award the non-state party who prevails its reasonable fees and expenses. We would get rid of all that on page 2. The amendment that then would go over and eliminate, continuing on page 3, all of that highlighted remaining language, or underlined language, not highlighted, I'm sorry, on line 1 through line 28, dealing with appealability of that awarding of fees, defining a prevailing party, and defining reasonable fees and expenses from where we are. We then continue on this bill through pages 4 and 7, and we go ahead and delete in its entirety the existing 536.087. This sets up under current existing law how we compensate people that are on prevailing sides of this. I had the conversation with the senator from Green where I said I may not like this in current law. He said he lifted it from current law and applied it in this mechanism. And I said, well, it may be that we want to re-examine current law and not just ditto it on where we're at. So this amendment would eliminate those sections 536.087 in its entirety that runs on pages 4, 5, 6, and 7. So all of the underlying stuff would go away as well. And then further amend the substitute by going to page 11 of the bill and inserting basically that existing law, line 13, by inserting after all of said line the following. No, I just want to vote on this. I just want to vote on this amendment. I'm not trying to delay it. I just want to
Senator,
vote on this amendment. So while you are in
this point of discussion, would you like to ask the body for unanimous consent to add open brackets on line 11 of the amendment on page 1 and close brackets on page 3, line...
Is that what we need to do? Okay. I would so make
line
that...
Line 18.
I would so make that unanimous consent request.
Hearing no objection, the brackets will be added at the dais.
With that, I would actually move for the adoption and the unanimous consent and just close by saying this. Trying to get out of this whole prevailing party gets their attorney's fees paid. Be happy to answer any questions.
The senator from Cape has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1 to Senate substitute for Senate Bill 469. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from Boone, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Quiet, Senator from Cape.
Senator from Cape, do you yield?
I yield.
He yields. Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I'm just trying to figure out exactly where we're going here.
Okay.
Because it's very difficult to track on what you've got in the amendment, what's being cut, what's not being cut. But I do want to go back to the fact that, and I've got a copy of the revised statutes for 2000. I don't have the supplemental, so I don't have anything after 2000. But, I mean, even in 2000, and I don't think this has changed, you've already got a provision of 536.041 that any person may petition an agency requesting the adoption, amendment, or repeal of any rule, any agency receiving such a petition or other request in writing to adopt, amend, or repeal any rule shall forthwith furnish a copy thereto to the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules and to the Commissioner of Administration, together with any action if taken or contemplated by the agency as a result of the petition. Then, you clearly, at 536.050, you've got the ability of anyone to have standing to go ahead and file for a petition for declaratory judgment in the circuit court. And then you've got several subsections dealing with the payment of attorney's fees to the prevailing party if they prevail against the agency on declaratory judgment. And that really gets down to whether or not something was a statement of general applicability that should have been promulgated as a rule and wasn't, or a rule was being enforced which was otherwise improperly promulgated under 536. And then at the end of subsection 7 under 536.050, it does talk about awards made pursuant to the section, that's for attorney's fees, shall be payable from amounts appropriated, therefore, the state agency against which the award was made shall request an appropriation to pay for the award. So you've got a lot of those provisions already, and what I'm not sure is, I think I kind of understand what you're doing with the senator's Senate sub. I just want to make sure that, because that's kind of established, that we're not removing things that already exist.
No, I am removing things that already exist.
Okay, you are.
If you heard the unanimous consent request, we put open bracket, close bracket on 536.087.
Okay.
536.087. And that would be getting rid of, if you look on the Senate substitute, pages 4, 5, 6, and that part of 7. That would be part of 536.087. And in my inquiry with the senator from Green, he said he lifted the language that is found on page...
Right, I heard that.
Page 3.
Here's essentially, here's where it's going, because in Chapter 536, obviously, which is Missouri's Administrative Procedure Act, it's really divided into two parts. The first half of it deals with promulgating rules. The second half of it deals with contested case proceedings, you know, usually at the Administrative Hearing Commission, but not all. Some are actually within the agencies themselves. So that language at 536.087, that's the attorney fee provision. So, for example, if let's say the Division of Liquor Control, which I guess now is alcohol and tobacco, let's say that they discipline your liquor license and you appeal that, you go to the Administrative Hearing Commission, and under 536.087, the Administrative Hearing Commission finds that the state had no basis. And again, they have to have a good basis. If they do, the attorney's fees provisions don't apply. But if the state had no basis to take the action against your license and you prevail on that, you file a second case in the AHC, and that's what 536.087 does. Is it says you get your attorney's fees for having to appear in the AHC and defend against this action, which the AHC already found in the initial underlying action the state had no basis to bring. And so I think what the senator from Green has done is basically he's taken that language in 087 and then applied it to the first half of Chapter 536, which is the rulemaking portion that says if you want to challenge a rule and you prevail, now we're going to say, at least if this goes through, you get your attorney's fees for that under similar language that already exists for those contested case provisions. So I think what you're trying to do is take the attorney fee language out of both.
Correct.
Right.
Perfect synopsis.
Right. But right now, I mean, keep in mind, the reason that language, at least from my perspective, the reason it's in 087 as it exists, especially with contested case proceedings, is so that you're not abused in this process. Because if there's really no kind of, you know, stick held over the agency, they're going to take you to the AHC on a licensing case. And you go there and you pay $40,000 to defend your license, whether you're a doctor or a nurse, or you got a liquor license or anything else, and you prevail, well, if you get it, you just get it, and then that's it. And you say,
Senator,
well,
this is where you and I are going to disagree.
Okay.
Because you're not punishing the state. No one that does anything in here is spending their own money. And my frustration goes back to a case of the very person that I sponsored to be ag director, Fred Farrell. Mm-hmm. And that individual was charged with sexual harassment. He settled the case, and he spent other people's money to settle it. And we didn't punish that behavior. The taxpayers paid for that. And if we want to basically go into a direction where we're reevaluating whether or not these agencies are operating in a proper scope of their jobs, I'm all for you. I wish we would do more of that instead of spending all of our time up here trying to pass more laws for the very agencies that many of us agree, and I agree with the senator from Green, have overstepped their boundaries. What I'm saying is a check to that and just a simple amendment that we can find out where the body is. I do not believe that the taxpayers paying attorney's fees has in any way, shape, or form limited, ratchet down, or stopped the abuses that are highlighted in and around this issue. They haven't done it in the contested settings, and I don't think that they'll do it in the promulgation of rule settings.
Well, the way it works, I mean, when they get an award of fees, they specifically have to come in before the General Assembly and ask for an appropriation to pay for those fees, and we have them every year.
No, we put an E. I've argued with you at length on this floor. We put an E on the legal expense fund. Now,
the legal expense fund doesn't pay this.
What?
The legal expense fund does not pay this.
Not out of what the senator from Green wants to lift, because he puts a specific...
In 536.087, the legal expense fund does not pay that. They absolutely do not pay that.
In
what
area?
The legal expense fund pays for the defense of a state entity. They do not pay for an award of fees like that. That's why the language in 087 specifically says that the agency that gets dinged for the fees has to come in front of the General Assembly and ask for an appropriation. We do this every year in appropriates.
And how often have you denied them?
Professional registration comes to us.
And how often have you denied them?
We've denied them before.
Can you give me a specific case?
I mean, I can't give you a specific case. They'll bring any given year. They haven't actually done it yet this year, but they'll come and they'll say, we got four cases that these lost. I tell you where this really tends to happen, though, is not so much from the agency. It's from the lay board that works with the agency.
The
lay board, like a
lay board
of nursing home administrators.
Okay.
Where you've got a lay board that actually is made up of people who make the decision. The agency works as their staff, but it's usually that board that made the decision to take the legal action that they took. And we've had that. We've had this before. And the same
right.
issue in a
problem. And that's fine. I'm not trying to delay anything here. I just want to vote. And what I'm saying is I think we have an opportunity to forge a new path within this legislation to get rid of all these fees. Senator, you want money for MU. Are you for MU or are you for lawyers? Your choice.
It's not I'm for lawyers. I'm for businesses that get dragged in and have to pay
okay.
attorney's fees.
I'm just telling you,
but
the way I look at it.
We have taken it out of agencies in the past. We've told them that they're going to get a reduction somewhere else in their budget to pay for that. I understand
your point,
Senator.
I believe it when I see it.
But how do you make sure that somebody's
it,
not abused by a state agency?
Senator, and I hope, and I'll flag this, I've got 56 particular line items in the budget that I'm working on right now, and I've got a running total. I will add this to it, and we'll get to see. I haven't had much success dealing with takeaway line items in the budget under your appropriations chair, under the senator from Stoddard, and definitely not under the senator Nodler. I mean, that guy, I mean, gosh, I couldn't even take money from my own university and give to his university.
Well, you know, Senator, I'm
you
happy
know?
To
I
talk
mean,
to you about any
like,
of those
line cow.
Items any time you want to.
Well, and I will, and I'll share those. I'm putting them together as a package, and I will definitely, if this amendment doesn't go down. But I'm in a mood to where I see opportunities to save money. I'm going to start offering those on all of this legislation because I haven't been that successful in putting forth amendments to save money in the budget. So here's another opportunity. You're telling me sometimes you reject it, sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
This is going to be a way in which we can clearly say we're just going to reject it, and we're going to reject it from the get-go.
Thank you, Senator.
All right.
Senator from Clay was the first one I saw seeking recognition. Senator from Clay.
Yes, I'd like to inquire the Senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone, do you yield? He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Thank you, Senator, for the inquiry. I'm just concerned about the expense because I, like you, think that we have to have some balance between private people who are dragged through the court system by an agency that just really doesn't have any. They don't have the same financial forces at play that somebody in the private industry would have with regard to whether they go forward or whether they don't go forward. So I appreciated what you had to say. The question that I would have is, do we have any kind of history or can we compile any kind of history to find out if we really have had some sort of explosion in defense attorney's fees for the state of Missouri?
You can get that. We see that in the budget. It's usually two or three cases, four cases every year. It's not, in the scheme of things, a ton of money. But they do specifically have to come to us and ask for that. And the reason that's in the statute is so that we know, and sometimes we allow it, sometimes we don't.
Right. Well, so let's say if this was the Senator from Green, if his bill was allowed to work as is, let's say that you have some rules that were supposed to be promulgated. For whatever reason, the bureaucracy just says, you know what, the legislature passed that, but we don't care. We're just not going to promulgate the rules. And so the nurses group or a group of alcohol sales people or whoever, pick your group that gets regulated, they come in and they say, you know, these rules need to be promulgated. You're saying that any award for the defense comes out of the legal expense fund, but if there's an additional award given against that agency, that comes out of their direct appropriation.
I don't think in that context, I don't think anything comes out of the legal expense fund.
Nothing comes out of the legal expense fund. Okay.
I could be wrong on that, but I don't believe it does.
Well, that's the main thing, because I agree with the Senator from Green that we have to find a better way. As the Code of State Regulations gets bigger and bigger and we regulate more and more through that code, there has to be something that's a better remedy than what we have right now for those people who are in the regulated community, those private business owners, those nurses, the people in professional registration. Now, I understand the senator from Cape's frustration with regard to tax credits and those folks, and maybe we just need to pull them out. But as far as you're concerned, I mean, do you think we're okay where we are, or do you think the senator from Green's headed in the right direction?
You know, I don't want to get into a situation where we're creating additional bureaucracy to get rid of bureaucracy, which you potentially could get depending on how this goes. But I think that, you know, it's always a healthy thing to get those rules off the books that don't really serve a purpose and don't need to be there anymore. And the other thing, too, is I think sometimes people just don't realize they exist. Remember, the reason we have the first half of Chapter 536, the reason that you have to promulgate rules for a statement of general applicability is a statement of general applicability is exactly that. It applies to everybody, regardless of who they are or where they are, who are in a certain circumstance. And there's a due process issue with that. That if something is going to apply to everyone, they have a right to know it, which is why they're supposed to follow, the agencies are supposed to follow this whole process. And if they don't, yes, there should be some way of addressing that.
And we're finding more and more that they don't, that they have internal guidelines that nobody can find. They didn't go through the rulemaking process. They didn't seek comments. They didn't write a fiscal note. They didn't do anything. They just said, oh, we're going to have an internal guideline. And worse yet, that internal guideline can be different in Kansas City than it is in Columbia, than it is in St. Louis, than it is in West Plains. And so we have craziness going on here. I'm willing to look at anything that any member of this body can come up with where that we can get a better handle on this, because I've tried to work closely with the senator from Green on this. But we're just seeing this happening over and over and over again, where that private individuals are getting yanked through a court system and an administrative system. They don't have the resources of the state to enter into those battles. Maybe a handful of them do, but most of them don't.
Right.
And it's
and
it's,
I think, you know, you raise a good point. I think one of the big issues is where you have a state agency that has a federal agency counterpart.
Yeah.
What you end up seeing is more and more of that federal agency telling the state agency how they have to apply certain things. And if they're applied the same in all circumstances, it's a statement of general applicability, yet a lot of the agencies, I think, because the process is fairly onerous, they don't want to go through it.
Yeah, they
and so,
that.
Yeah, so that certainly happens. But that's not fair to the regulated community, who needs to know up front what are those things that apply to them in a given circumstance.
Well, I'm probably going to be prevailing upon our appropriations staff to give me some ballpark idea, because I remember when I was on appropriations, we did deal with this. Some of the money came out of the legal expense fund. I probably have a more clear understanding now that a lot of this comes out of the direct appropriation, out of the core appropriation. But then, of course, my concern would also agree with the senator from Capes that we don't effectively reward an administrative agency for dragging somebody through court by increasing their core in the amount of any penalties, fees, experts, court costs, anything like that they might have to pay.
Right. You know, I think last year there were three cases or so last year. I think the total appropriation for all of those was around $40,000.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. I appreciate the inquiry. Thank you. Mr. President?
Senator from Clay.
May I inquire the senator from Cape?
Senator from Cape, you yield.
I yield.
He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Senator, thank you for the inquiry.
Yes.
I completely understand your frustration, especially with the tax credit situation. And you are a clever person when it comes to holding government and the bureaucracy accountable. Let me give you a scenario, and let me see if you can come up with a way that we can maybe craft this in such a way that we really do hold the bureaucracy accountable. This okay. body passed some legislation that, to tell you the truth, Senator, I think I voted against. But it was legislation that expanded, particularly in rural areas, nurses' ability to write prescriptions for controlled substances.
Uh-huh.
Now, whether I agreed with that legislation or not, the fact of the matter is this body and the House said that that was the right policy for the state of Missouri. The governor signed it into law, and my belief is that we have a bureaucracy that
promulgated rules to promulgated put that into effect.
So basically, you know, and that was some years ago, because that was the former senator from St. Clair that sponsored and handled that legislation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just flat think that's wrong, that an executive branch shouldn't be able to thumb its nose at our legislative process and say, we don't care what you passed in the House, we don't care what you passed in the Senate, and we don't care that the governor signed it into law, we ain't doing it, period.
I'm with you.
So give me some creative ways other than hitting them in the pocketbook, because the only way that I know how to hurt a bureaucrat is to take money away from him. It's kind of like taking a bone away from a dog.
We didn't hurt Fred Farrell at all when he was found liable for sexual harassment and the state paid for it. And the only reason I'm bringing that as an example, I sponsored him.
Yeah, he was
all right? I think the world of Fred.
Yeah.
But what he did is unacceptable, and what's even more unacceptable is the fact that the taxpayers paid that individual's damages, not Fred. So I hear you, and I want to work with you.
So what should we do with Fred other than what maybe some farmers might do with Fred?
The governor, to his credit, fired him.
Yeah.
But we couldn't have fired him.
Right.
I mean, I guess we could have done a resolution, but we confirmed him, and we couldn't unconfirm him.
Okay.
So to his credit, I
hear you.
He got
fired, but that probably isn't enough in that scenario. But let's lift it out of the individual scenario where you have one individual bad actor.
All I'm saying right here is I think that the senator from Green is addressing that in all of the text that he has in his legislation. Lines 5 through 21, very good, very concise, this is how you follow. So a nurse practitioner with the proper credentialing that said, hey, we passed this statute, they could file the petition, want to know where the promulgation of rules are, want to be able to get all of this done, follow all of that. Where I may depart with you and the senator from Boone is, I don't think you need to pay for his or her attorney's fees in order for a good outcome to occur.
And see, there's the problem, because the agency digs in and says, no, we're not going to do it. I don't care what you say. And they have lawyers on staff. Now, I suppose what we can do is take away the appropriation for the lawyers and leave them without lawyers. But still, they've dug in and said, no, we're not going to do it, so sue me. They don't have any stake in the outcome like you would or I would if somebody tries to hold us accountable.
And I hear you, but taking the money from the taxpayers doesn't create a stake on them.
But they use taxpayer money to defend their position that flaunts their authority in the face of what we as a legislature have said. The people elected us, sent us down here to write laws, then the agency says, nope, not going to do it.
You'd be in a better position, and the senator from Boone would be in a better position to say, okay, we're cutting you by $1 million. We're cutting you by $2 million. We're cutting you by $3 million. And if the General Assembly wanted to come forward and actually thought that the severity of the situation of them not promulgating a rule to allow application out there was serious enough, that's how you're going to get the attention. You're going to start firing people, line item.
How do we do that in the instance? Let me give you two instances. One is having to do with the nursing rule that I just talked about, where that I don't really know where that is in the process. I know it's just taken years for them to write the rules. If we cut the money, my recollection is we cut money, we take money away that was actually paid in by nurses' fees as part of their license. Isn't that where that money comes from, to run the nursing board?
Well, the nursing board, but not
Health
the promulgator of the rules.
Okay, so
the nursing board is not promulgating the rules.
You take it away from Health and Human, HHS, GSS. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I would go. They're the ones that were charged in that statute, as I remember, for promulgating the rules in which to do that, to work with them and then BNDD and DEA.
And then another situation that we have where that we are actually trying to get legislation through right now, because this is the remedy that Senator from the senior senator from St. Charles has chosen to take. There is a board that is refusing to write a plan to transition people who are capable of being transitioned out of institutionalized care into the least restrictive means. And I know that this is something that the senator from the 15th has been involved in, I believe the senator from the 2nd has been involved in, and they are not even making a plan to agree with or disagree with. They're just not doing it. And the attempt here, it sounds like that you're saying, don't try to match private sector attorney's fees so that the private sector doesn't have to be a very rich person to fight the bureaucracy. I'm just trying to give Joe Blow out there a fighting chance to go into court and say, yeah, I know this may take $5,000 worth of attorney's fees to get these people to come to the table. And if a judge finds that they have just flagrantly, they failed to write rules that they were supposed to write, we're trying to hold them accountable so that the average person, whether a farmer or a nurse, candlestick maker, that they have some ability to know that they can come in there and get some money back for attorney's fees if it's warranted, because the taxpayers are already paying the bureaucracy's lawyers. And if there's another stick, I'm for it.
Yeah, I mean, the other stick is being an active legislature working within these departments and communicating vociferously where the objections lie and being able to deal with them through the appropriations process. Where you and I depart ways, I tend to understand what the senator from Green is doing with shifting the burdens on the promulgation of rules and opening all of that up. What I'm trying to articulate to you is paying somebody else's attorney's fees are not going to get you a better outcome. It just, we don't have to pay these lawyers. I mean, you are one, I am one. Paying us to do all of this stuff, it just...
Well,
you know, in my humble opinion, it becomes overly burdened to the taxpayers to the tune of, you know, you basically created, we hired all these lawyers over here, we hired all these lawyers over here, taxpayers are paying all of it. I mean, if you want to call it economic development, fine. You know, they always laugh. What's economic development in a one lawyer town? A second lawyer.
Lawyer.
That's what we're doing here. I mean,
except for one thing is you've got, well, I'll give you a perfect example from the federal government. The federal government has said that a veteran cannot hire or you can't pay a lawyer to represent you to get your veteran's disability benefits. Now, how fair is that? The Veterans Administration has thousands of lawyers probably on any given day to set all the paperwork up so they can't get that.
You can hire a lawyer. They're just not going to pay your lawyer. And, boy, wouldn't it be better?
That.
I mean, yeah, but wouldn't it be better in the world? I mean, Senator, have you ever gone to your Social Security disability office?
Yes, I have.
Moberly
and also in Clay County.
It is insane. The racket that we have set up, it's gone so far that Claire McCaskill and I agree on something. A few years ago, Claire McCaskill said it's ridiculous that we have these commercials on there, everyone getting a little rascal. You know what I'm talking about? These little motorized, you know, Medicare, we will get you your little rascal, and Medicare will pay for it, or we'll give it to you free.
Well, Senator from Howell and I actually looked up how much it would cost in a scooter store, as opposed to what the government's paying. But that's neither here nor there. My concern is to try to work with you, the senator from Green, and any other senator in here, so that the average person that's in the regulated community has some fighting chance of being able to at least go into court and say, you know, this isn't right.
Well,
I'll
tell you the best way in which to do that, and we backed off of it because we can't get there in this body. The best bill, kill everything, start anew, and make it all pass the General Assembly. Or we can start writing statutes that effectuate the policies that we want instead of, you know, pawning that off to these departments to do. There's a lot of solutions there. The only thing that I humbly put before the body to ask for their consideration is whether or not taxpayers should pay one side of the lawyers and then pay the other side of the lawyers. And heck, if you think it is economic development, as I joked, but it really is. You know, what is economic development in a one lawyer town? It's another lawyer. That's what we're doing here.
I'm trying to figure out what's left What's the procedure?
Basically, what's left is putting together the policies and the procedures, the rescissions, the ability to get a response. What my understanding is at this point now is by putting the 60-day response, at least you're getting a time frame. Sometimes they just take the basketball to the top of the key and they dribble till you die.
Yeah, they've done that.
And a bureaucracy can do that. So at least the senator from Green is putting a shot clock on them, and then you're getting involved with where the taxpayers are putting their champions through elected individuals, the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules, and allowing them to come forward and be more in there. I'm not trying to delay anything. I'm just giving this General Assembly what you will see me do time and time again, because very few of us want to do this, is a way in which to save money. Save money without having to gut higher education, save money without having to gut this or that. In one particular provision, the senator from Boone said, sometimes they pay them, sometimes they don't pay them. I will confess to you, I do not have a five-year breakdown, but I have asked for a five-year breakdown, and by the time the budget rolls around, I will have the five-year breakdown on this section.
Would you support then just saying, just flat out, if they don't do the review, if they don't take the comments within the period allowed by law, that those rules become ineffective?
Well, I think you have issues with the senator from the 13th, and I'm not trying to undo the negotiations that the senator from Green and the senator from the 13th have done. All I'm saying is, you know, we all stand around here, we're in a budget situation,
right,
but no one's got a plan to deal with the budget situation.
I hear you.
No one's got a plan.
I'm trying to get back over, though, to the situation where that, let's say the bureaucracy just exactly wants that. Let's say they want those things repealed.
Then let's eliminate the bureaucracy. Senator, let's just eliminate them. Let's just eliminate them.
I may be working with you on one in that regard, because for
let's just
probably
get rid of
7 years now,
I've been working on a lot of people dealing with your specific issue that think with the DEA, we don't even need a BNDD.
There's a lot of people in my district that agree with that.
Let's just get rid of them. I like those people. They're fine people. They're great people.
But
if we can't bring the nursing issue, because BNDD and DED can't get on the credentialing page relative to how they license these nurse practitioners, because physician transition rules from state to state are not as complicated as nursing compacts and nurses' transition rules from state to state on where they're at, then maybe we just need to revert to a DEA license for the issuance of pharmacological scheduled drugs instead of having a DEA number and a BNDD number. Yep. Maybe that will make it easier to get the licensing credentials to these nurse practitioners.
Well, Senator, I think that you and I have both been around here for a while, and we've both shown that we can dig our heels in and do some
things. I'm not digging my heels in. I will let you know. I'm just given another opportunity to save money.
And I may give you that opportunity because, as I've expressed here on the floor many, many times, the Department of Natural Resources has shipped jobs out of state over and over and over again, and I've had those meetings with them, and I'm probably going to continue to have meetings with them. And I hope and pray before I leave these doors
that we can cut that money. After listening with the senator from Andrew and some of the frustrations that he's got, I'm almost to the point and would like the senator from Boone sometime off the floor to would we be better off just turning this thing over to the EPA and getting rid of the DNR? I mean, I haven't heard anybody that's like, yeah, I'm glad we have DNR there.
Well, I've never heard that. The first thing, they threaten state parks because they know that people like state parks.
That's where all the cuts ended up being done. But there's ways in which you can deal with that. You get rid of the flexibility. You take ownership of the budget, and then the line items that you allocate to are the line items that have to be funded. But it's tough. It takes us then taking ownership in the crafting of a budget instead of you know, basically the governor get, and I've been here a long time under Republicans and Democrats, the governor getting 99.9% of what he puts in the budget, and then we complain about it. Well, there is a way in which to change that, Senator, and that's for us to take a greater ownership role over.
Senator, I don't know if your amendment's going to pass or fail.
I don't either.
I just know that down here, I think that your goal is right, and I understand it, but I also think that my goal and the senator from Greens is right.
I agree.
The way things are right now.
I don't think we're mutually exclusive. Yeah. And I wish I had the information. I'll have the information that is a specific breakdown of how much Section 536.871 funding we have has been requested and has been allocated over the last 5 years. So I'll have that information. I don't have it at this point, but I'll have that information. And if it's not a whole lot, now, granted, there is a big difference between someone bringing a lawsuit or a challenge or a petition because a rule has not been promulgated versus someone that is getting the recruitment of attorney's fees and costs associated with a challenge to their license that they have prevailed on.
And there's a third category, too, the Fred Farrell situation that you talked about. That was a whole different
creature. And that's in the civil court. That is the legal expense fund.
Yeah, that's a different
creature. I mean, I know that. Or when, the Attorney General sued Governor Blunt, and then that individual sued the state over a wrongful discharge.
Yeah.
So, and then when the attorney, then Attorney General Nixon sued Mohila. All of it. I mean, the only ones that came out in all of that was Brian Cave. Brian Cave made quota. We probably paid for that Denver-Colorado merger. I don't know.
I look forward to trying to work with you on something, regardless of whether your amendment passes, so that the person who owns the shop, the person who's on the farm, has a fighting chance against this litany of lawyers that are out there that we may or may not even know about, you know, because they may not know to bring it to us. And that it's so frustrating to me to hear people at my church on a Sunday afternoon talking about how that they can't even set up their barbecue stand because the health department rules are so ridiculous and so onerous.
I agree.
That they can't get
there. I had a neighbor kid that got shut down on a lemonade stand.
I mean, that's
we've all had that stuff.
Now you can't buy raw milk, and now you know you can't do this, and you can't do that. And
but I don't think paying lawyers is going to stop it. I just don't.
And where you and I may disagree is, I think that that guy at my church that couldn't open his barbecue stand ought to be able to go in and make an argument that the rules don't exist or the rules are ridiculous and that they need to change them and have a fighting chance against the Department of Health lawyers that we're paying $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 to. And I just don't know how to fix it, and I'm extremely frustrated with the whole situation. I do hope that we can at least give some sort of parity on the playing field where you can go to court and get something for you to fight it. Otherwise, they just can't even fight it. But
I mean,
I just find it
very ironic that we spent all last week taking away discrimination rights and what could be paid in damages to that, and then here we are kind of
saying, we
need more
over.
Lawyers' fees and we need more everything.
I don't think that's over.
I don't think that's over.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway, Senator, thank you for the inquiry.
All right. Thanks.
Senator from the 15th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire of the Senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone, do you yield? I yield, Senator. You may proceed.
Thank you for yielding. And the inquiry could be with the Senator with a cape or the Senator from Clay. But I think ultimately the best outcome or solution is probably lies through the appropriations process, which is why I'm inquiring of you. I agree. I know sometimes there's an anti-lawyer sentiment, but the way I view this is similar to the Senator from Clay in that I just don't think it becomes cost prohibitive oftentimes for the regular guy to bring an action, whether they were denied their license or to challenge an agency's overreach. I think we want to combat that, and I think we share that sentiment that we want to combat that overreach or the malfeasance.
Well, if you take away the threat of having to come to the General Assembly to request attorney's fees that you lost, then you're taking away all concern of the agency
to be cautious or
mindful when they're proceeding this way.
Which is why I don't agree with the Senator from Cape's amendment, but I do with what he's getting at, I do agree with the sentiment in that if an agency is acting in this manner, I do think when they come before you, whether it's their core appropriation or it's through this process, of really holding their feet to the fire on how they're conducting business as far as what they're doing on the promulgation of rules, or whether it's the Department of Insurance as they handle licensure issues, those sorts of things. And ultimately, the big stick, I think, comes from the dollars that are appropriated through either one of those processes through your committee. Right. And we've had this, actually, just as lawyers, we've had this conversation in the summer about what do you do?
Right.
What do you do to an agency that's acting in this way? And it gets back to the conversation I think we had earlier this session with whose responsibility is it? And I've asked the Attorney General's office to give us a flow chart or whatever it is that we need to know. Whose responsibility is it? Who are we paying? Is it the AG's office or the department lawyers to handle these kinds of cases? And maybe we have too many people doing this. Maybe we have too few. But I don't think any of us really know right now. As far as
because it varies
concerned.
By agency as
right.
to who the actual lawyer is, whether it's an internal agency lawyer or the AG's office.
Yeah, so I don't want to create, I mean, the reason why I pose this, I don't want to create an additional barrier for the guy who's wants to challenge it, and it may cost him some money that he may not have, but he knows he's right. And at the end of the day, if he can prove he's right, he's not.
Well, to get fees, he has an independent fact finder has to find that he was right and that the state entity had no basis to take the position
right.
against him that they did.
Right.
And if you take that away, you are taking away the stick that keeps the agency from doing that in the first place.
Absolutely. And that's not a small burden to have to prove anyway.
Right. That's correct.
So anyway, thank you for the inquiry.
We're on the motion of the senator from Cape. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from the first was the first one I saw seeking recognition.
Thank you, Mr. President. Inquire the senator from Cape.
Senator from Cape, you yield.
I yield.
He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. The cases that you're talking about, these are between state agencies and private parties, private entities?
Okay, I'm talking about two types of cases, and I think the senator from Boone accurately reflected where we are. So I'm gonna paraphrase his adequate and very skillful designation. What we have is under section 536.087, if you are a subject of rules and you contest the application of those rules. The classic example is your barber's license, your doctor's license, everything else, and you end up being the prevailing party in that, you can recruit the fees that the state offensively made you incur. What the senator from Green is now doing is taking that language that you get for defensive. You're not now playing offense, you're playing defensive under the contested rule provisions of 536.087. And he's taking that exact language and he's now putting it in the promulgated rules section. So my fear is you talk about how the state may be abusive. What happens to all of these people that want their own special interest rule that now they're playing on the taxpayers' money? No one's really articulated or said anything about whether or not there could be special interests that abuse this and end up then flooding government because we're paying for all their lawyers.
Okay.
And there's no catch or downside for those individuals. Because now they're not spending their own money. They're spending somebody else's money. And if they win, great. If they get all of their stuff back. And, you know, maybe you can say that you know, well, they only get it if they win, so that's the downside. You know, 99.9% of all legal actions settle. And they settle because of the unknown. And they settle because of the costs. And they settle because people are risk averse at their very nature. And so when we start taking that marketplace out of these things and we start paying their lawyer fees, we start doing this, it upsets that marketplace that helps get to that resolution of, you know what, I'm not going forward anymore because I've just spent $50,000 on this and it's not worth it to me economically anymore. Now, can we do a better job so that government doesn't bury people? Absolutely. Absolutely we can. But I don't think the solution to that is any inefficiency of us paying lawyers to bury small businesses is turning around and following the economic development philosophy of, you got one lawyer in a town, greatest economic development you can do is hire another lawyer. Yeah, that's great for the lawyers, but you really haven't done anything for the people.
Senator, where are these cases adjudicated?
Well, my understanding, and you know, the senator from Boone has more experience in this than I, so he may know far greater than I his time at the Department of Natural Resources, but they are adjudicated within an administrative hearing commission,
right,
and then appealable outside of the administrative hearing commission all the way up through the circuit court level, the appellate court level, and possibly, I don't know if he had any that were ultimately decided by the Supreme Court.
Just for the body's benefit, in appropriations today, we actually heard OA's budget, and we actually, this was the Administrative Hearing Commission's budget was presented to us, okay? And I asked the question of how many cases came before, you know, your commission this past year. It was roughly 2,600 cases. And actually, only 600 of those 2,600 actually went in front of a commissioner, okay? And I believe that their appropriation was, if I tried to get the appropriation book from staff, but everybody's gone home, so I couldn't get the book. But I think it was $1.6 million is what they were asking for in fiscal year 13. But they had a new decision item, interestingly enough, based on a piece of legislation that was passed by this body last year, or it might have been 2 years ago, where we, I guess, expanded, you know, their responsibilities, and they were asking for another $547,000 in a new decision item, okay, adding a commissioner, from going from four to five commissioners, adding four more lawyers, adding one more paralegal, and then I believe two executive assistants. And I guess my question to you, Senator, would be, would it be better as far as the idea of having the lawyers involved in this? I mean, why can't these type of things just be adjudicated before a commissioner?
Well,
why can't a commissioner, you know, kind of the system Moses set up, you know, right. He found wise men and he put them over thousands and hundreds and tens and said, you work these things out and the real tough ones bring to me.
Yeah. And we could put that into a certification process. The federal courts call those magistrates. So district judges on the federal level usually take more of the complicated cases. And at least in my neck of the woods, we have a federal magistrate that usually handles all of the disability appeals and stuff like that. That's a very legitimate way. I think that's another creative way in which to do that. But I think it's important. What we're talking about here in this amendment has nothing to do with the administrative hearing budget, because that is what pays the judges and the judges' law clerks and all of them
fees.
to be the actual adjudicator. And that may or may not be efficient. How we have the judiciary set up may or may not be efficient. But what we're dealing with here is, in that specific isolated case of promulgating rules, we're now talking about paying a private citizen's attorney's fees, costs, expert fees, as they put forth their challenge, either saying that an agency hasn't promulgated a rule or the rules that they promulgated are not correct to statute. And the question becomes, do you want to do that? And my only amendment that started all of this is, I would like people to think, is it a good idea that we pay these attorneys' fees or not? And that's all I'm really putting. I'm not...
That all it addresses.
Yeah, that's all it addresses. Do we have greater problems than that? Absolutely we have greater problems than this amendment. But this is the wheelhouse that I'm in. If you look at most of the bills that I filed this year, I'd say all of them, all of the bills I filed for the greater part of 6 years, all I want to do is cut stuff. All I'm trying to do is give this body opportunities to find greater efficiencies as we right-size state government to existing revenues. Now, this many of them have passed. You know, I had to meld one pension reform with giveaways to Ford and tax credits. All right, you know, whatever it takes. But this is what I do, and I will continue to do it. I will offer amendments trying to find greater efficiencies in state government, trying to find savings in state government, because that's my plan. I haven't heard any other plan other than Governor Nixon's, which is, let's just go take higher education numbers back to 1997. Let's not fully fund the foundation formula. Let's continue to make our top funding priority tax credits, because those are growing at double digits. Everything else is going down. I see from House leadership, their number one priority is Tabor Amendment Lighter, Tabor rewritten, which says state government is growing out of control, so we got to limit state government growth, but never ever address tax credits, which is the only place that's growing. State government's not growing. Now, the federal allocations are, but Senator, you know, state GR is not growing.
Right.
No matter what we say it's going to do in the consensus revenue estimate, it's not growing.
Matter of fact, the numbers, I think, for this last month were under what they estimated.
Yeah,
they?
I mean, yeah. And let's get to that. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? If you take December's number, our consensus revenue estimate predicted 3.9% growth. Now, let's just pretend that the Fed and the Congressional Budget Office just said we'll be lucky to hit 1% growth. Let's just pretend and ignore all of the economic indicators are there and stay focused on 3.9% in our consensus revenue forecast. That means that we are forecasting that we will have $7.585 billion in GR. You know, a lot of people may not, that there are a lot of different revenue streams in our budget. What we really have control over, Senator, is not a $23 billion plus budget.
Right.
What we have control over is the $5.585 billion. Senator from Boone knows that. You guys know that it's not really fair or accurate.
7.5.
Yeah, $7.585 billion. It's not really fair to say, oh, it's a $23 billion budget. You know, so much of that is just passed through that we don't have control. So take that into account. If we now bring in December's numbers, because we were below in real December numbers than our projections, all right, we have a 1.2% gap. So in order for us to meet our FY13 forecasted numbers, which is what the senator from Boone is now building a budget upon, because we haven't amended the $7.585 billion of GR, we are now going to have 5.4% growth. Senator, we're not going to grow at 3.9% growth next year, and we sure aren't going to grow at 5.4% growth.
Right.
So I'm not trying to belabor the point, but to me, we need to stop this insanity of passing all these bills. We need to sit down as a body, and we need to have a discussion and a dialogue of how dire the state finances are in. And we need to come together as a Senate and put forth a plan and lead on these very real numbers. Otherwise, we're just going to pass an out-of-balance budget to the governor. He gets reelected or doesn't get reelected in November, and come January 1, 2013, they just withhold the world.
Yeah, I agree, Senator. I think all 34 members ought to be involved in that process. You know, in the appropriations process, we've got 11 senators, I believe, on appropriations. And, you know, when we're flush with cash, you know, the job is easy, right? You don't say no to anybody. But you know what? We haven't been flush with cash other than the one-time monies that came from
funds.
The federal government, that we're filling that hole. We've been talking about it for 3 years. I really think that we ought to take a step back, as you said, and as a body, in, you know, bipartisan fashion, everybody be involved in, you know, here's our real problem. We're facing, you know, a catastrophic problem here, and we, you know, we're not even talking about it.
That is going to result in consequences that may not jive with the Senate's values. I don't think the governor's budget, let me say it this way. The governor's budget doesn't reflect my values, and budgets are nothing but a reflection
of your
values.
Priority and values, right? Right,
and,
exactly.
And I'm willing to have dialogues on very tough things. I've introduced legislation to eliminate the circuit breaker. I've introduced legislation to put moratorium on redemptions of specific tax credits. I've introduced legislation.
Out of curiosity, what would that free up as far as revenues available for this 2013? You have any idea?
The redemptions on the two tax credits that I've done, low income and historic, would be $250 million. On the elimination of the circuit breaker, it's $115 million.
Right.
So whether it be big ticket items that are there or it just be lawyer fees, you know, I'm trying to stay consistent to give this General Assembly options, because right now we didn't prepare.
Right.
When we had all the federal money, whether you agreed with it or disagreed with it, the whole thought process with it, or at least my thought process, was this is going to give you an opportunity to transition to the new reality of this economy. It will allow you a transition time to right-size state government to the existing revenues. We all knew it was coming.
We could have been doing that over the last 3 years. Yet
and we didn't
gonna
do it.
We're going to have to right-size this now, year all at one time.
And to I think we did some work, and the Senate did more work than those guys, that brain trust down there on the House. But we didn't get it done. And we don't get partial credit. It's not enough that the Senate passed a good bill. We didn't get it done for whatever reason. And that puts us back to what I think is a core function of where the Senate is. Not how many bills we can pass in a given session, but what we can do to reflect our constituents' values relative to the appropriations process, relative to any of these other bills. My hope is that we can have an actual dialogue so that we can understand where we are. Because, Senator, all the House is doing is passing tax credit bills. They're coming over. They're going to be here. And then we're going to be in a position again of there'll be some among us that say, we got to pass this. Economic development, economic growth, we got to do something. The problem is you can't cash flow it.
Right.
All right? It takes you 5 years to recoup the cost of MOSIRA. It takes you longer to recoup the cost of whatever new tax credit gimmick, let alone that all the reports are indicating they're not working. You can't cash flow it anymore.
Right.
Unless you cash flow it off of teachers. And I would challenge anyone in this General Assembly, think about who your largest employer is, particularly the outstate guys. Who's your largest employer?
Your school districts.
How in the world
is
cutting teachers and everything else, economic development for low-income housing and historic preservation? And to my colleagues in the urban core, why in the world are you so happy what you can do with an old building when you can't educate a child and haven't been able to for almost two generations? What happened to our priorities? We've lost it. We've lost it. When rehabbing an old building is how we define success, not the opportunities that we've blessed a child through educational access that he or she may be the first in their family to ever have.
Senator, have you introduced a bill to make all tax credits subject to appropriation?
I have.
Okay. Have you introduced a bill to do away with all tax credits other than the social tax credits? I'm just curious if that bill is out there.
I've got one that's not all 63, but definitely, well, four of them spend 90% of the money.
Right. Okay. Okay. All right. Senator, thanks for the inquiry.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I'm going to support you.
Senator from Green, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, would you lay that bill over on the informal calendar, please?
That bill will be laid on the informal calendar with the amendment pending. From Senator from Cape. Senator from the 23rd. Sorry, Senator from Stoddard, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. With the consent of both chairmen, I would like to re-refer Senate Bill number 661 from the Committee on Ways and Means and Fiscal Oversight to the Committee on Jobs, Economic Development, and Local Government.
Seeing no objections, those bills will be so referred. Senator from the 23rd.
Without objection, Senator, will go to the order of business announcements.
Announcements. Senator from Lawrence.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee on the judiciary will meet immediately upon adjournment in the Senate lounge.
Announcements. Senator from the 1st. Announcements. Announcements. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We are adjourned.